This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. It is the Thursday episode as we break down the Week 3 card. Myself and Matt Eumanns, as a reminder, do give us a 5-star rating wherever you're listening. Rate, review, and subscribe. Let's continue to conquer the podcast world. But Mr. Eumanns, a solid week two for the two of us, both winning weeks. If I could have just avoided late night games, I would have had a much better week. But all in all, a good week for the two of us, and hopefully we can carry it over into what's a kind of a unique week number three.
Yeah, that was a very positive Saturday last week, and just want to keep that going. But I don't love the college betting card. I hate to say that right off the top of the show this week, but I do have four or five plays I like this week, and I think there are some really good games on the schedule. I don't have necessarily plays on the marquee games on the schedule this week, though, as of right now, even though I do have some opinions, I think they're worth breaking down. So, Tim, let's jump into it.
The main course.
All right, Eumanns, we'll start where College Game Day will be, as this game will be Georgia and Tennessee getting going at 3:30 on ABC. And right now, Georgia down to a 3.5-point favorite. I've got some thoughts on this game, but I want to kick it to you first here, Matt, when we look at this particular game as Georgia takes on Tennessee.
Well, my thoughts here that Gunnar Stockton is making his first true road start as Georgia's quarterback, and that's a tricky situation. We've seen a lot of young quarterbacks struggle in their first true road spot. And also, Bulldogs been a little bit shaky early on. Big win over Marshall, but that's a bad Thundering Herd team. And then 28-6 against Austin Peay last week. And again, that game was delayed by weather, so it was a little bit of a awkward game. Georgia had 7 points in each quarter. Not that impressive, and I think that's why the line has come down here. You saw 7.5 as the number up here at one point, now down to 3.5, 4. I think Circa is stuck at 4.5 as we're talking. But Gunnar Stockton is a quarterback I've started to believe in a little bit more. Nate Frazier's an elite running back. The question here is about Tennessee. Is Joey Aguiar for real? Because Tennessee has faced pretty weak competition, pretty weak defenses up to this point. He's got 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. They're off a 72-point game against East Tennessee State. But the Vols are missing both starting cornerbacks, and I think those injuries got to concern you a little bit going into this game. My opinion, Tim, you and I talked about this early in the week. If this dropped to 3, that was going to be the buy low spot on Georgia for me. It never got to 3, so I have not played this game yet. It's not going to be on my list of best bets, but I think 3 is a cheap price. Maybe I'll play Georgia on the money line, but Tennessee's going to have to prove it to me. The Vols have had all sorts of problems with beating Georgia, and I think you're getting Georgia at a discounted price.
You and I both love home dogs, and this is a home dog situation, but not all situations are created equal, as you pointed out. Last Friday at DraftKings, Georgia was a 6.5-point favorite. At the Westgate Superbook over the summer, Matt, Georgia in the game of the year line was an 8.5-point favorite. And what confuses me a little bit about this movement here is what have we seen from these two teams that is any different in recent years? Let's look at Tennessee. Josh Heupel's a bully. He has been incredible in the non-conference, Matt. If you look back at when he took over in 2021, he failed to cover against Bowling Green, and then they lost outright to Pittsburgh. Since then, Tennessee is 15-1 against the spread in non-conference games. They obliterate inferior competition, and that's what they've done so far. They played Syracuse, who I have a win total under 5.5 for the Orange. The Orange, by the way, had to run gassers after they beat UConn in overtime this past weekend. So I wouldn't say Syracuse is a team anything to write home about. And then they beat East Tennessee State. And then on the flip side, Matt, Kirby Smart historically has never really shown much in these non-conference games. I believe it's 0-10 ATS in their last 10 games against FCS opponents, and obviously Austin Peay being one of those. But what jumps out to me more so, Matt, is the pure domination that Georgia has had against Tennessee since Kirby Smart has taken over as the head coach. They lost their first game against the Vols back in 2016. They've won 8 in a row. against Josh Heupel. He's 4-0 straight up, 4-0 against the spread. And when you look at Joey Aguilar, as you pointed out, inferior competition for the former App State quarterback. What jumped out to me, Matt, against what we expect to be a pretty elite defense in Georgia, Joey Aguilar at App State, now obviously improved talent at the wide receiver position for him at Tennessee, he had 51 turnover-worthy plays in 2023 and 2024. That's the most in college football. He had 14 interceptions a year ago. So I do wonder if he runs into a couple of tricky spots. I have questions regarding Gunnar Stockton. Would I play this at 6.5? Absolutely not. But for me, Matt, the palatable money line price, which Circa has as we record on Thursday, minus $1.65, I laid $1.65 on Georgia to win this game on the money line. So that's going to be a best bet for me. 3:30 Eastern on ABC. Georgia, I just think, is a bit on sale here against the Vols.
It is. 165 is a fair price, and I might end up making that same play myself. And you said about Joey Aguilar. He's been a turnover-prone quarterback. He has not shown that so far, but it's a small two-game sample against weak defenses. So I think he's going to have a lot of trouble against this Georgia defense.
All right, Matt, let's go primetime NBC. We've got 16th-ranked Texas A&M against number 8 Notre Dame, a game that I will certainly be sweating and not chewing my fingernails, as Notre Dame right now a 6.5-point favorite. Total 49.5. A&M so far with wins over UTSA and Utah State, I believe, failed to cover both of those games, and Notre Dame an outright loss to Miami back on Labor Day weekend, and then a very early bye week for the Irish. So the Irish have played just one game going into this pretty big showdown against the Aggies on Saturday night.
Tim, first of all, don't chew your fingernails. That's a very bad habit. I had a girl who broke me of that habit many years ago. It's disgusting. Do you do that on a regular basis, really?
No, I don't.
Okay. I tell you what, I thought C.J. Carr, we're talking about freshman quarterbacks or young quarterbacks making a first start on the road. You were there in Miami. I thought the play calling really handcuffed him in the first half or maybe first three quarters against Miami. And you take the handcuffs off and boom, this kid can play. I thought he looked pretty good in the fourth quarter of that game. So I think Notre Dame's offense is going to be okay. Also, you got to feed Jeremiah Love the ball a little bit more. Notre Dame's, that was a tough opener on the road in that sort of situation with a young quarterback. Notre Dame cannot afford to drop to 0-2 if you want to be a college football playoff team. You'd say, well, I could still run the table and go 10-2 and make it. That's asking a lot when you drop a couple games right off the bat. I think the Irish are going to win this game, Tim, but I also think they're going to have to grind it out. That's why I was tempted to take Texas A&M plus 7 here. I didn't do it, and then the 7s disappeared, and it's mostly 6.5 across the board. It's probably a game I'm going to live bet. There were some questions about Marcel Reed, the Aggies quarterback, and his health coming out of last week's game. I think he's okay, right?
Yeah, he'll play. He's fine.
Yeah, so maybe I'll live bet the Irish if I can get a cheaper price here. But the opportunity I had to take Aggies plus 7 looks like it's disappeared. Looking at the screen right now, I don't think there's any 7s left, right?
No, it's all 6.5s now. Some juice 6.5s, but as of right now, you might get a game day with the public coming in, and I would imagine coming in on the Irish.
Yeah, it's kind of reminds me of the Louisville Notre Dame game last year. You remember, you recall that game? I think we laid 6 or 6.5 with the Irish, and they won by 7, right?
Yeah, that was a grinder of a game.
Yeah.
Louisville outgained them. There was some weirdness in that one. Look, Notre Dame has fared pretty well in the primetime spots in South Bend. Marcus Freeman certainly was on them this past week. I have some questions about the offensive line, but you know, Matt, I think when you look at Texas A&M, it's funny. A year ago, you and I both had the under in Notre Dame, Texas A&M. That number closed 47, and now you're looking at 49.5, and I think this should have adjusted higher, in my opinion. Texas or Notre Dame, Miami, with some uncertainties, a quarterback making his first start was a bit higher than where we're at for 49.5. And when you look at Texas A&M so far, Matt, the defense leaves a lot to be desired. UTSA was able to run the ball pretty well against them. They had, I think, a running back go for like 175 yards. You know, this is a Texas A&M defensive line that lost Shamar Stewart in the first round, Nick Scorton in the second round, Shamar Turner in the second round. They lost three guys up front to the NFL in the first two rounds. And then I think on the flip side, Matt, Texas A&M's offensive line, they get good news. Their left tackle will be back. I think Texas A&M, with some really talented wide receivers, the transfer from NC State, Casey Concepcion, Mario Craver from Mississippi State. Marcel Reed did not play in this game a year ago. He obviously brings a lot with his legs. I think Notre Dame can be had a bit up front. And, you know, let's call it what it was. A week or 2 weeks ago, Matt, I thought the Miami receivers really had their day at times against Notre Dame at a defensive standpoint. So you and I don't like to play totals a ton. I especially don't like to play overs, but I'm going to go over here. I think this number should be a bit higher. I think this is kind of a 31-28, 28-24 type of game. So I'm going to go over 49.5 here, Matt, in Notre Dame, Texas A&M. I agree with you. I think CJ Carr should be able to have some success. And for the love of God, can you give the ball to Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price, please? It was ridiculous how much they were held in check in that game. So I'll go over, Matt, in this one, 49.5, Texas A&M and Notre Dame.
All right, Tim, I'm going to say if you lose that play, it's going to be because the Notre Dame defense shuts down the Aggies offense. I think there's a possibility that could happen, that Texas A&M might get held to 17 points or something like that in this game. I expect the Notre Dame defense to look a lot better than what it did on the road in Miami in the opener. So that's what's keeping me off the total here. Is I'm not a big believer in this Texas A&M team. Like you said, lost a lot of talent on the defense to the NFL. I need to see more from A&M, and that's why I really don't have a strong opinion. But I think Irish win the game. Just not sure how comfortably, but I think this Notre Dame defense is legit. Probably the top 10 defense in college football, if not top five.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I really believe in the two corners that they have, Christian Gray and Leonard Moore. Devontae Smith, I was a bit disappointed. Their slot, who was a big acquisition this offseason from Alabama, more of a kind of a hitting nickel as opposed to a coverage guy, and felt like Malachi Toney got the best of him on Labor Day weekend. All right, Matt, let's go to primetime down in Baton Rouge, LSU and Florida. LSU, a sleepy spot last week, got out of a win with Louisiana Tech. But then Florida, who, buddy? Sunbelt Billy, our guy. What are they doing? Florida loses to South Florida as about an 18-point favorite, Matt. This number was up at 9.5 earlier in the week. It is now down to 7.5. Is this a buy low opportunity on our guy, in air quotes, our guy, Sunbelt Billy?
Well, I think so, but I'm not saying that with a lot of conviction here. I bet Florida plus 9.5 early in the week. I hate to bet on bad coaches, and this guy is one of the worst. But I do think a lot of Florida's a pretty good team, and you want to bet on a good team off a bad loss, and that's a really bad loss. Gators have been hearing it all week, and I think they're going to be a motivated football team going into Death Valley and Baton Rouge. Hey, 11 penalties for 103 yards last week. Aside from Billy Napier's unbelievably dumb game, you know, clock mismanagement, situational mistakes, and I still like DJ Lagway and some of the talent this Florida offense has. And I think that this is a big number when you're talking about an SEC rivalry type of game. I played it at plus 9.5. I'd still play it at plus 7.5 if you're late to the party here. Anything more than, you know, 7 should be okay. I say that, and hopefully the game doesn't land on 8. But, again, this LSU offense has not blown me away so far. And Garrett Nussmeier's got 2 TD passes in 2 games. Running attack has been subpar. 23-7 win against Louisiana Tech last week. Okay, that's understandable because that was a sleepy spot where – the Tigers might be asleep at the wheel. And then in that classic sandwich spot off the win at Clemson with Florida on deck. So not going to make too much of that. But the offense has averaged 20 points so far. LSU defense is much improved. But for an offense averaging 20 points against pretty good Florida defense, covering 9.5, 7.5, that's a lot to ask here, especially when the Gators are off a bad loss. I took the points. I expect this to be a tight game.
I'm with you. I took the points as well. Didn't get the 9.5. Got the 9 earlier this week, but I'm with you in the same sentiment. We're recording this on Thursday. Those numbers don't exist. But still, north of 7, I think, is worth a look. And, you know, once again, you look at some of the movement this offseason. This last week, it was LSU minus 7. Over the offseason, it was down to 5.5. And I bet under Florida 7.5 wins, Matt, but it wasn't because of the lack of talent. It was because of the schedule and how brutal it is. You know, I didn't expect them to lose to South Florida, so that was lovely for the win total. But you look at next week, they play Miami. They have a bye week. They play Texas, Texas A&M. They're going to be an underdog in their next four games. So I do think you get a pretty good effort from the Gators. You know, clean it up, 11 penalties, as you alluded to. And look, Blake Baker deserves a lot of credit for what this defense is looking like. Harold Perkins is an absolute star on that defense for sure. But, you know, I do think Florida with DJ Lagway can have some success. And you mentioned it. Cade Durham, how about last week, 13 carries for 29 yards against Louisiana Tech. So, yeah, there's a lot to be desired. I like Garrett Nussmeier. I think LSU wins this football game, but I think it's more competitive and it feels a little bit like a buy low opportunity on the Florida Gators. So common play there. You and I both rolling with the Gators and Sunbelt Billy. So can't wait for our texts to be flying on Saturday night when this game is going on. How do we bet on Sunbelt Billy? But
here's the thing, Tim.
We will see.
We both know what we're getting into with Sunbelt Billy, but we signed up for this, so I'm not going to complain about it. If he makes an Arrowhead mistake that blows the cover, that's what we signed up for. So I can't complain about that. But I'm taking a points here, and I know that some of the listeners or viewers of this podcast probably hate it when we say, well, I bet this at 9.5, and now the number is 7.5. But, you know, if you follow VSiN throughout the week, I've done spots on three other VSiN shows this week, early in the week, and we give out these plays at the good numbers, hopefully if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber. On Monday, you saw, or Tuesday morning, I gave out that play, and hopefully you're getting ahead of the line moves on some of these games and don't wait until the end. Tim, I've got probably, I want to say a group of like 5 to 10 guys who text me on Saturday mornings every week, and this aggravates the hell out of me. Text me every week Saturday morning, hey, what do you like today? Don't wait until Saturday to bet college football, okay? You're not going to get the best of the number if you wait until game day to bet. And by the way, we do a podcast. We put out plays in this network out all throughout the week on the website. Don't wait until Saturday to text me what are the plays today. The number is going to matter in some of these games, and hopefully it doesn't matter here. I think this could be a field goal type of game. I really expect Florida to give a great effort here.
So, Matt, I want to get to another game where we've seen a massive line move. How about Georgia Tech hosting Clemson, noon Eastern, ESPN. Clemson ranked number 12, labored their way to a victory against Troy, trailed 16-0. Of course, dropped their season opener to LSU. Georgia Tech, they played Gardner Webb a week ago. Haynes King did not play in that game, but they beat Colorado to open up the season. Bit of a bad beat if you took the points with Colorado back in week one, Matt. But I've been doing this all week, taking a look at what it was over the summer, what it was last week, and what it is now. Clemson, on August 20th at DraftKings, was minus 8.5. At the Westgate Superbook Game of the Year, minus 9. Last Friday, minus 7.5. And now the number, consensus, is sitting at 3 across the board. A couple 3.5s out there. So, look, we both really like Georgia Tech and Brent Key as an underdog. How about this? Brent Key, Matt, in 11 games against ranked teams at Georgia Tech, remember he took over in 2022 after the coach was fired midseason. He is 8-3 ATS with 4 outright wins, and in one of those games, Haynes King did not play. However, it is worth noting, of course, that when you think about this is the shortest spread that Georgia Tech will have faced in all of those previous 11 games, Matt. So you mentioned numbers matter. Now at 3, it's a pass for me, and maybe even a look at Clemson a little bit, but no official play for me on this one. What do you make of this Clemson-Georgia Tech game?
Well, I think you're too late to the party here if you like Georgia Tech, and I'm too late to the party. I should have bet Tech earlier. I was thinking about doing it, but then I wasn't sold on the play, and that's why I hesitated. So it's going to be no play for me. You know, I was not buying into the Clemson hype and the Cade Klubnik hype in the preseason. I know Klubnik put up really good numbers last year, but Clemson's one of those teams I've been a little bit slow to buy into, and I've got no play on this game. If you haven't bet Georgia Tech already at a better number, you can't bet it now.
Yeah, you look at Haynes King, you do worry about the durability. This was what Brent Key said about Haynes King. Looks good, feels good, will make a determination this weekend. So I would be surprised if Haynes King does not play in this game. Even though Aaron Filo, I'll say this, pretty damn good backup. He looked the part against Gardner Webb and bits and pieces a year ago. Haynes King, how about his numbers against Colorado, Matt? 19 carries, 156 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And then on the Clemson injury front, they were missing their left tackle, their safety, and Antonio Williams, their leading wide receiver against Troy. And it doesn't sound promising about Antonio Williams if he's going to play. So, look, I'll raise my hand when I get things wrong. I was in on this Clemson team to at least win the ACC. I didn't buy them as a national championship type of team, but been very disappointed so far. And we'll see if this is a buy low spot, but we're both going to sit this one out on the sidelines. Hey, just a reminder, our broadcast of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast has a number of sponsors, including our friends at Kahala. I'm wearing my Kahala shirt right now, Matt. Very light, very perfect time of year. The original Aloha shirt brand founded in Honolulu back in 1936. Kahala has been at the heart of island style for nearly 90 years. Most of Kahala's iconic Aloha shirts are still made in Hawaii using original prints and time-honored techniques that showcase the beauty of the islands. But Kahala also innovates with modern styles, offering stretchy performance shirts, cooling polos designed for golf, and comfortable shorts built for every adventure. You could discover their full collection over at kahala.com. That's KAHALA.com. Or follow them on Instagram at Kahala. They have 6 locations across Hawaii. Kahala, celebrating 90 years of Aloha and a proud sponsor of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt, you know what I did this morning?
Tim, I'm going to guess little, that you, a you woke up early. Sauce. Okay, I was going to say you woke up early, you ate a pineapple, drank some orange juice, and put on your Hawaiian shirt.
Well, I did put on my Hawaiian shirt. That is okay. True. But I threw a little hot sauce on my eggs this morning because you and I, we're a big fan of a little heat on our food, and we're a big fan of those types of matchups as well.
Muy caliente!
Spicy matchups.
All right, Matt, let's get to a spicy matchup on the CW. Yes, the CW. 18th ranked South Florida against number 5 Miami. And once again, a situation, Matt, where numbers matter. This number was 15 or 16 earlier in the week. It now sits at 17.5. South Florida, fresh off of wins over Boise State and Florida, they now go and take on the Hurricanes in Miami.
Tim, this is a tough one for me because last week I chickened out on South Florida. You and I talked about it. I wanted to take the 18 with the Bulls, and I looked at that Boise-South Florida box score over and over, and I said, you know what? South Florida didn't dominate in the stats in that game, and it had a lot to do with Boise coughing up 3 turnovers, fumbles, and I thought, well, maybe this big number is a little bit of a trap, so-called trap, and I hate to throw out that cliche, but was South Florida really that good? Well, the Bulls look legit. You know what scared me off it, too? Mm-hmm. And I talked about this on the podcast a week ago. Remember last year's game between Miami and South Florida in Tampa? And I took the points with South Florida. They were right there in the game and then got blown away by the Hurricanes in the second half. It wouldn't shock me if something like that happened here. Now, I'd love to see South Florida go in there and win this game, be a great story. And Bulls got the better coach in Alex Golish. But I think it's tough to do it 3 weeks in a row, Tim. And that what concerns me here is Miami kind of pulling away to cover the number later in the game. So I'm staying off South Florida, even though I'm tempted to play the Bulls here for would be the 3rd week in a row. Did play them against Boise. Did not play them last week at the Swamp.
Yeah, you and I share similar sentiments regarding betting, and we don't love to lay the chalk all that often. And every time we do, it feels like it bites us in the rear end. But I'm going to lay it here, Matt. And I know we're not getting the best in the number. I did lay 16 earlier in the week. So I'm going to split my unit first half minus 9.5, full game 17.5. That's the current number. I think USF, while they deserve all the credit and very well could make the college football playoff, Matt, they get to go to the table if they win the AAC and they say, hey, we beat Florida, we beat Boise State. That's a hell of a resume in the non-con. I do wonder, now you've got Miami's full attention. You've got a situation where Miami might want to kind of one-up Florida a little bit. And I do worry a little bit here. South Florida, I'm not calling them fluky, but their touchdowns have all come via the explosive nature, Matt. 23-yard touchdown against Boise, 45-yard fake punt against Boise, 55-yard touchdown pass against Boise, and a 66-yard touchdown pass against Florida. They're plus 4 in the turnover margin. As you mentioned, they're a well-coached team. Todd Orlando's their D coordinator, veteran D coordinator, has been at Texas and USC. Alex Golish is going to be a head coach somewhere else other than South Florida, more than likely, next year. I do worry a bit about the durability of Byron Brown. Already 31 carries on the year. He had 17 against Florida, Matt. You're going against a very physical defense in Miami. Reuben Bain, as we saw against Notre Dame, is just an absolute wrecking ball. So I'm going to lay the chalk here. I think Malachi Toney and CJ Daniels should be able to have some success catching passes from Carson Beck in this one. So I think UCF is the real deal, especially when it comes to possibly making the college football playoff. But I think, as you alluded to, third straight big game like this, I think they run out of gas. Miami had a glorified bye week a week ago against Bethune-Cookman. So give me Miami. I'll split my unit since we're doing current numbers, first half and full game. Matt, we go to Ole Miss, and this is, I believe, the first primetime game Ole Miss has had in a couple of years. So it's going to be a big atmosphere down there in hottie toddy land. However, there's questions about the health of Austin Simmons. So we've seen this number really start to crater. It was north of 10, now sitting around 7, 7.5. Arkansas, maybe a little bit better than what we expected preseason. This number right now, 7 market wide, total 61.5. Ole Miss catching or laying 7 at home against Arkansas.
I think Arkansas is a little bit better than a lot of people anticipated. Now, I haven't seen enough to say that convincingly, but Tim, I know there's some sharp money on the Hogs as dogs here, and I don't disagree, especially with the question marks about Austin Simmons, and is he going to be ready to go? I know a lot of bettors not happy with Lane Kiffin right now, and the Rebels struggled to get that win on the road to Kentucky last week. You know, what's interesting to me, Tim, when you look at the SEC right now, are there any really bad teams in that conference? I don't think so. I don't even think Kentucky's quite as bad as I thought Kentucky might be.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Mississippi State, that was the worst team a year ago, and they go out and they beat Arizona State. I mean, you and I had Mississippi State last week. So if the worst team in the conference just beat the reigning Big 12 champion, that is a pretty solid conference. We'll get to Vandy here in just a moment, too. The old doormat of that conference went to Lane Stadium and just obliterated Virginia Tech in the second half last week.
Yeah, Vandy was one of my best bets on this podcast last week. And at halftime, I was going, damn it, Vandy did it to me again. And then almost every time it feels like I play Vandy, they let me down. But then the Commodores were back in the second half, and I was much happier with Diego Pavia and that Commodores team, especially with a win total of 5.5. That was a big win for Vandy last week on the road.
Yeah, let's jump to that, Matt, because I don't think either one of us have a play on Arkansas Ole Miss. So let's go 7:45 SEC Network, Vanderbilt at South Carolina. You know, to me, this line just, I don't know. Once again, we were talking about it earlier this week. I had an episode with The Bear, our good friend Chris Felica, and we were talking about overreactions or market corrections. You know, South Carolina last week, Matt, was 8.5-point favorites against Vanderbilt at DraftKings, which was way too high. And now the market sits at around 3.5 or 4. Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt, 9-2 now as an underdog. They closed an underdog against Virginia Tech. The second half was just an absolute domination. Go look up the box score. Touchdown drive, three and out. Touchdown drive, three and out. Touchdown drive, three and out. I mean, Vanderbilt just embarrassed, you know, a very daunting environment at Lane Stadium. Hey, cool, you have Metallica. Why don't you win some football games at night? But when you look at this spot, they have a common thread, Matt. They both played Vanderbilt, and one kind of labored and played with their food, and the other went in and dominated the second half. But once again, kind of the theme of this podcast, whether it be the Georgia-Tennessee game, whether it be Florida-LSU, whether it be you know, what we talked about with the Clemson-Georgia Tech game, has this number gone too far? Right now, you can get a 4.5 at a national shop if you do like the Commodores. What do you make of Vandy in South Carolina?
Well, I want to play Vandy, but not at the reduced number. So it's a little bit too late to play Vandy. And 2 weeks in a row on the road might be a lot to ask here. So I'm going to pass on this game. Tim, there are some questions about how good is this South Carolina team, and I think those are legit questions. I like Lenora Sellers. We all like the potential of that Gamecocks offense. I don't know how good the defense is. One thing that I want to mention here, I saw you put out some look-ahead lines. I don't know if they're DraftKings or FanDuel. South Carolina, a 3-point dog at Missouri next week. Is that number cheap? That number's cheap on Missouri, isn't it? On the look-ahead number, shouldn't Missouri be a bigger favorite than that?
Certainly feels like it. And I think, once again, I'm going to do this all year, man. I'm going to make sure, because our friend Matt Grill puts up these lines on Wednesdays if you want to get in on them. And then they take them down, the games play out, and they'll repost them. So, yeah, it does feel like Missouri, who's in an interesting spot this week, and we'll hit on some unique spots a little bit later on here in the show. But, yeah, this is certainly one that I know a lot of people. I know our guy, Mr. Edwards down there, Florida super fan, is all over Diego Pavia. And I get it. He's been a cash cow, even going back to his New Mexico State days. But I'm going to stay on the sidelines on this one. We missed out on the good number. It feels like, I don't know, it feels like Admiral Akbar is out there telling me it's a trap. Like, why is this? It was 8.5. Now it's 4.5. So I'll pass on that one. Matt, let's go late night. Our colleague Stormy Bonantoni will be on the sidelines. It won't be as raucous as her last gig, where she was down on the sidelines in Stark Vegas. She'll be out in Berkeley, Minnesota at Cal. Fascinating game. Cal has been very impressive so far this year. Certainly exceeded expectations. I was on the wrong side week one. That was a dead wrong side against Oregon State. The market told me before that game kicked off that I'm toast. So late night out in Berkeley, Matt, and we've got Justin Wilcox as an underdog.
Yeah, and I like Wilcox in this role. 14-5, ATS is a home dog. His last 19 there in Berkeley. But what I like a little bit more is the freshman quarterback out of Hawaii, Jaron Kiave Sangapetele. I think I pronounced that correctly or close to it. 6'3", 225 freshman, 69% completion so far, 3 touchdown passes against Oregon State. And I actually like this Cal coaching staff quite a bit. I was talking about Justin Wilcox. How about Brian Harsin, former Boise coach, his offensive coordinator, and Nick Rolovich also on the staff. I played Cal plus 2.5 here. I know that you told me yesterday, you texted me and said the Westgate Superbook briefly went to 3, and then that 3 got bought up quickly. So I didn't get it, but I expect Cal to win the game here. I'm not sure how good Minnesota is. Drake Lindsey, the new quarterback, 61% completions against Buffalo and Northwestern State. And is Darius Taylor going to play? The stud running back for the Gophers has a hamstring issue. And I think, just based off how P.J. Fleck was talking this week, he's going to be doubtful. I like Cal in this spot, and you know, played Cal plus 2.5. I'm probably going to play a little Cal on the money line too. Stormy's going to be on the sideline in Berkeley for that game, and I expect the Bears to win it.
You know, this is going to be a common play, and you know, it's funny. A lot of people were saying, oh, Duke was the trendy dog last week. All you guys like Duke, and Illinois won the game, yada, yada, yada. Okay, Chuck Esposito also came on the tailgate show on Saturday and told me the most lopsided ticket count, second most lopsided ticket count, was on Illinois. So, you know, we talked about this earlier in the week on VEASAN Primetime. You know, we live in the gambling bubble a bit. there's some common thoughts out there. I don't think Cal is going to be a very popular play amongst casual fans, but maybe people like you and I and our listeners, we like Cal. Look, I was wrong week one. I've turned my opinion around on this Cal team, and you mentioned it. Justin Wilcox kind of thrives in these home underdog roles. If you go even a little bit further, just as a flat-out underdog, he's 30-20-1 ATS as an underdog at Cal. And what do we know about Minnesota? The defense looks good. They did lose Corey Heatherman, their DC, down to Miami, and already Miami's defense is marketably improved by what we've seen, but they promoted from within. Matt, it's hard right now when you look at holding Buffalo to 151 yards. They didn't cover, but Buffalo does struggle offensively, and that's a good MAC team. You play Northwestern State, you hold them to 42 yards. Like, congratulations, I guess. I don't know. But I think the point that you made is pretty interesting. Darius Taylor ran for 141 yards against Buffalo on 30 carries, did not play last week or got hurt last week. And then they have a bye week after this, Matt. And then they open up Big Ten play against Rutgers. And I'm not just saying this because we're going to both be on Cal. PJ Fleck should think about not playing Darius Taylor with a bye week and then your conference opener following that. Grant Washington, 20 carries, 126 yards against Northwestern State a week ago. So maybe he's a decent replacement option. And then lastly, regarding Cal, Matt, you know, this is a program that we talked about, the talent they lost, right? Fernando Mendoza goes to Indiana. Jaden Ott goes to Oklahoma. The tight end Endries, he goes to Texas, caught a touchdown pass last week. But I give this program, whether it's Riverboat Ron Rivera, which I'm hard to giving him any credit, but people in that program, they've got some talent. And they brought in Kendrick Raphael from NC State. He went for $122 last week, the running back. Jacob DeJesus, a guy that we recall from UNLV, a special player from a special team standpoint. I think they got some players, man, and JKS is the real deal, it seems like, at quarterback. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to take Cal plus the 2.5. FanDuel's a juice 2.5, so maybe you wait and see if a 3 does pop. But I was looking at it, Matt, and I was looking at the board. I did not text our buddy John Murray, but I think the 3 existed for like 4 minutes on Wednesday. So it was not up there long. Congratulations if you were able to scoop the 3 in the 4 or 5 minutes it was available at the Westgate Superbook.
Well, Eagle Eye Tim Murray was on top of it because you texted me right when the 3 hit, but I didn't have time to jump in there and bet it. So I'd already bet Cal plus 2.5, and I'm going to bet Cal to win this game on the money line. So I'll take my chances there. With a hamstring issue with a running back like Taylor, I don't know how you could put him out there. First of all, if he re-injures or aggravates that hamstring injury, he could be out a month. So he's a stud. He's one of the better running backs in the Big Ten. I'm banking on him not playing. But even if he plays, I still think Cal's got a great shot to win this game. And how about Jaden Ott, by the way? I was on Oklahoma last week. I thought the Sooners could run the ball against Michigan. They did. But it was John Mateer who did most of the running, Tim. And Jaden Ott has been a non-factor so far in that Oklahoma offense. I don't know what's happened to him. Oklahoma paid a bunch of money to get him out of Berkeley and get him to Norman, and he has been no factor for the Sooners so far, which is very surprising.
Yeah, no doubt. I thought that was a huge addition late in the process. He transferred in the spring portal and has not done anything in those first two games. We'll get to Oklahoma and their tricky spot here coming up. But two other games in the spicy matchups, Matt. You and I both were on Duke last week. That was a maddening game. They actually outgained Illinois, but -5 in the turnover margin, dumb coaching decisions. And now Duke goes to Tulane. And how amazing is it that Darian Mensah, the Tulane quarterback, former Tulane quarterback, goes to Duke, gets a big old bag of money, and now he's back at Tulane for an 8 p.m. Eastern start time here. So Tulane, 2-0 start to the season. Struggled a bit last week, but ultimately got the win. Matt, this has been a fun number to kind of keep an eye on. At one point, it was Tulane 3. There was a point this week where Duke actually became the favorite. And as we sit here on this Thursday, it is 1.5 in favor of the Green Wave. Is this a buy low opportunity after Duke kind of vomited on themselves last week at home?
Kind of. They vomited all over themselves last week at home. But, yeah. Hey, that's going to happen. Nice. It's going to happen from time to time. I heard this remark made by several people last week. The popular dog never wins. Well, I thought there were two really popular dogs last week. One was Duke, which lost, and the other was Mississippi State, which won. So I think perception and reality don't always match up the way that goes. Those were two popular dogs, and it went 50-50. Obviously, you'd like to hit 100%, but you know Duke was down 14-13 at the half in that game. You thought, well, they can't play a much worse half than that, and then they played a far worse second half in terms of mistakes. When the numbers opened Sunday night, I looked at Duke here. I had it written down. Duke plus 3.5. I was out there at a bunch of books. I didn't play it. I was going to look into the game a little bit more, and that 3.5 is now long gone. That's crazy this game is even scheduled, that Darian Mensa leaves Tulane, goes to Duke, and now Duke's going back to play Tulane at home. You got to think there's a lot of motivation here for the Green Wave. It ends up on the no play list for me because I did not get the 3.5 with Duke.
Yeah, I would look at Duke, and you try not to get too caught up in a poor performance that we saw and the lack of execution and the red zone and the turnovers, all of that. But yeah, I'm going to stay on the sidelines here. Another game that I debated, and I might get there, but it might be one of those games where I'm just furious with myself. Friday night game at Fox, 9 o'clock, Kansas State at Arizona. And boy, has there been a more disappointing team to start the year than the K-State Purple Cats. You go over to Ireland, you had Iowa State, and that was a great call by you in the slop. They lose that game. They had a post-game win expectancy, I believe, of 77%. They come back home. They play an FCS team in North Dakota. They're life and death. You said your guy Randy McKay was saying North Dakota was like 2-1 or something like that on the money line at some point, and they come back to win it. And then last week, Matt, they blow a lead to Army, and they get, you know, they lose to the Black Knights there 24-21. Army had the ball, I think, for 27 minutes or something like that in the second half. So Arizona's a team that, you know, we don't really know what they are yet, right? They lose Tet McMillan, but they've stepped up so far. They beat Hawaii with ease. Both you and I thought that would be a terrible spot for the Rainbow Warriors. They beat Weber State. So I'm sure preseason, if there were numbers on this game, Matt, it would have been maybe a touchdown somewhere in that ballpark. And now you're looking at almost a pick'em. So not an official play, but I might give Kansas State one last shot and see if Chris Klieman can turn it around. But from a situational standpoint, Matt, fourth game in 4 weeks, short week, travel. You just played Army. This is a pretty tricky spot, but not an official play, but I might end up on Kansas State to see if they can ultimately right what has been wrong this year.
Yeah, what was also wrong, what you didn't mention, is the quarterback's dad and brother got in a fight after the game in Ireland to make them make things even worse for K-State to start the season. But Chris Klieman's been a bet on coach for me for a while. At some point, I think he's going to get this figured out. This could be the type of win that the Wildcats need. I'm talking about K-State to springboard them to a much better season right now. It's always darkest before dawn. It's really dark right now for K-State. What's keeping me off this game? If I played it, it would be K-State. But I'm not. And I heard Richie Baccellari on the Follow the Money show on VSiN, I think it was 2 days ago, said he made the number. I found this hard to believe, but Richie B has been doing this for a long time. He loves college football. He made the number Arizona 5. Whew. And that really surprised me. Maybe his number's way off, but it was going to be K-State or pass. I think I'm going to pass on this one for now.
All right, Matt, before we get to some other games, we'll run through these a little quicker. Just a reminder, our good friends over at Rainbow Authentics, Mike Kawazoe and company, are a proud sponsor of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, the official source for game-used apparel, autographs, and trading cards from your favorite Hawaii student-athlete. Every item tells a story. Whether it's a game-worn jersey, a signed ball, or unique collectibles, you'll be capturing the moment and owning a piece of Hawaii sports history. Beyond memorabilia, Rainbow Authentics is committed to supporting the community. Their mission is rooted in empowering student-athletes and coaches, strengthening local programs, and giving back to Hawaii with pride. You can explore all of their selection and also support Hawaii Athletics at rainbowauthentics.com. Mahalo to our friends over at Rainbow Authentics, a proud sponsor of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast. And if you saw the Sam Houston Hawaii game last week, you saw Micah Alahata wearing a Rainbow Authentics hat there on the sidelines. So you can get your hands on that hat if you so choose. All right, Matt, let's run through some games, kind of best of the rest. We also got some situational spots. We'll lump these two together. Noon Eastern, ABC, Wisconsin at Alabama. Noon Eastern, Fox, Oregon at Northwestern. Big spreads here. Oregon, a 27.5 or 28-point favorite on the road against the Purple Cats of Northwestern. And Alabama, a 20.5, 21-point favorite against Wisconsin.
All right, Tim, I'm going to run through these rather quickly because I'm very hungry. It's lunchtime. Let's go with, first of all, I'm not betting against the Crimson Tide. Wisconsin's offense is extremely limited. We saw what Alabama could do last week. Alabama team that needed to take out some frustrations after the loss of Florida State. Bama could hang a big number on Whiskey here. So no interest in the dog. As far as Oregon, you know, that's interesting. That's a body clock game, right? That's an early start for the Ducks. And I think that would prevent me from laying that big number, even though Oregon should have way too much speed for this Northwestern team.
Quick thought on Wisconsin, Alabama. The number's 20.5 if you're in the Westgate Super Contest College. I think that'll be a contest play for me, Alabama minus 20.5. Danny O'Neill will get the start at quarterback for Wisconsin, the San Diego State transfer. I don't expect Wisconsin to do much of anything against this Bama defense. No. 12.5, I think, is the team total. So I'll be on Alabama in the contest, minus 20.5. Nothing on Oregon Northwestern. Great spot last week is Mike Gundy put his foot in his mouth and got absolutely curb stomped by the Oregon Ducks. Matt, let's get to 3:30 CBS. USC has been a scoring machine so far, and I mentioned Josh Heupel being a bully. Well, so far, Lincoln Riley's been a bully. What, 73 points against Missouri State, 56 against Clay Helton. And now you go to West Lafayette, 3:30 Eastern, Barry Odom squad there. What do we expect in this one as Purdue is a 21-point underdog?
Might not be an easy road game for the Trojans. And Barry Odom's got this fan base fired up. He's doing a great job. Again, you think about this might be a sellout. Purdue's had 55,000 fans or so the first couple games against weak opponents. But Barry Odom's got he's rallied the fan base here. And then I don't know if he's trying to speak it into existence or if he really believes it, but he's been talking big. Like, this is not a rebuild. We're going to win now. We plan to win now. I don't know. He's got 80 new players. I think 54 or 55 transfers. Things are starting to come together pretty well. But when you play Ball State and Southern Illinois, you don't really know. I'm guessing here. I took 21.5 with Purdue. That number was at South Point a couple days ago. It might still be there. I don't know. The numbers come down to a half point or a point at most spots in the market. USC's got 132 total points so far. Number one scoring offense in college football. But again, against weak opponents, weak defenses at home. Now you're going out in Missouri State and Georgia State. Now you're going out on the road. And the former Pac-12 teams traveling east have had a tough time covering numbers. USC, by the way, 0-6 against the spread. The last six times it's been a double-digit conference road favorite. So if you care about trends, there's one to throw at you. I think Purdue's defense looks a lot better. Barry Odom, very defensive-oriented coach. Obviously, it's a much more, organized football team from the Mickey Mouse operation that Purdue had a year ago under Ryan Walters. And you got a quarterback in Ryan Brown who's capable of moving the offense. And they got some playmakers. So I'm not saying Purdue's a threat to win this game, but I think hanging within 14 to 17 points is realistic in making this a competitive game. And believe me, Purdue was not competitive in many Big Ten games a year ago under Walters. That's going to change under Barry Odom. So I took the 21.5. You can still take 21.
Matt, the Backyard Brawl, this is the first installment of this rivalry with Rich Rod back since the infamous 13-9 game in 2007. West Virginia, 10-1 at the time, number two in the country, would have gone to the BCS National Championship playing a 4-7 Pitt team, and they lost that game on December 1st. So my initial thought, Matt, was I want to take West Virginia here, coming off of a terrible loss to Ohio. I can't get there. Here's why. Jaheim White, their running back, done for the year. Jaden Bray, one of their wide receivers, done for the year. This might be a really bad West Virginia team, and you've seen the market just bet this game like they know the outcome. It's already up to seven, some 7.5s out there. So one of the better rivalries. I love that it's being played, Pittsburgh and West Virginia, and the unique aspect of this is, what, 18 years after Rich Rod and West Virginia were stunned at home 13-9, but can't get there on that particular game. Matt, I want to go to a game that I think is a very unique situational spot, and we're going to get into these here and run through these to close out the podcast. Illinois, who I still think, you know, you and I and many others think this Illinois team's probably a bit overrated, sitting there at number 9 in the AP poll. We found out this week that Illinois-Indiana will be in prime time on NBC next week, Matt. And they play Western Michigan. Look, Western Michigan, nothing to write home about. 217 total yards against Michigan State, 303 yards in last week's loss in North Texas. This feels to me, even though it's a night game, maybe a bit of a sleepy spot like Louisiana Tech and LSU, Illinois waiting up down the pipeline, as we mentioned. You've got not only a game against Indiana, but you have USC at home following that. So I got 28.5 earlier this week. I still would play it at the current price. So a situational spot play for me, I will take Western Michigan plus the 27.5. Maybe you get the 28 at some point here before kickoff because this Western Michigan offense is pretty poor. Let's go to another game, Matt. Noon kickoff and a spot that you and I both have had circled for a while. Oklahoma going to Temple, and this number has moved quite a bit. It was 25 earlier this week. It's now 22. Oklahoma at Temple.
Tim, just follow up on what you were talking about. Probably be on Indiana against Illinois next week. You might actually be able to lay 2.5 with the Hoosiers in that game. I agree with what you're saying about Western Michigan, but try to get that 28. If anything, Brett Bielema might just let off the gas in the second half, looking ahead to the Hoosiers next week. So Temple catches Oklahoma in a pretty good spot here, a sandwich spot. You and I talked about this on our show, VSIN Primetime, a couple nights ago. You're off the big win over Michigan. Brent Venables really needed that win. Then you got Auburn on deck, and former Oklahoma quarterback Jackson Arnold is coming back with the Tigers to Norman. So if the Sooners lose a little bit of focus here, it's completely understandable on the road in Philadelphia. And, hey, this Temple team has got a decent offense. Now, I know it's against a couple of cupcake opponents early, but, again, what you're looking for in a big dog is scoring potential. And Temple has it, put up about 50 points a game so far. So if you need the Owls to get in the back door, you certainly have that possibility. But I think this has got to be a spot where the Sooners are going to lose a little bit of focus. And I can fully understand why the number has come down. 24.5, 25. 22 now, I think, is still worth a play on Temple.
Yeah, I took 25 earlier this week. It was one of the first bets I made. I talked about it over the summer on this podcast feed, Matt. I love this spot. It won't be an official play, but I'm with you. I bet this already. It has moved a lot, but, man, this is one of the primo spots, in my opinion, of the college football season. It's Temple hosting Oklahoma. Game day last week. Next week they host Auburn and their SEC opener. Speaking of which, Auburn, if you're looking at them, they're playing South Alabama. That number is sitting there at 24.5. Matt, neither of us have bets on these two games, but I wanted to throw it out there. Big noon kickoff. Our friend Chris Felica will be headed to Salt Lake for Utah and Texas Tech the following week. And both of those teams are big favorites this week. Oregon State goes to Texas Tech, and Utah goes to Laredice to take on the Pokes of Wyoming. I really looked long and hard, and I imagine you did too, at Wyoming here. 23.5 point home dogs for the Pokes, but just couldn't get there. Maybe late night I'll add it, but this is an 8 o'clock game, I think, on CBS Sports Network. Wyoming gets a highly ranked team into their unique place, but I don't trust this Wyoming team a ton.
Laramie trips can be tricky, especially later in the fall when you get wintry type of weather conditions. You're not going to have that this week. Caden Anderson, the Cowboys quarterback, looks decent. I have not been blown away by him so far. And Sam Scott, the top running back for Wyoming, looks pretty good. I just don't think Wyoming's quarterback or running back of talent is what it was when we saw Wyoming pull some upsets in the past. Who did Wyoming upset Texas Tech at home, right? A few years ago.
Is that crazy game? Start the season. It was on CBS, Matt. I think we had the double overtime. It was nuts.
Yeah, I was on that game. I'm not going to be on the Cowboys here, even though I did look long and hard at this and taking the points, thinking that the Utes might be a little bit, might be caught looking ahead a little bit here. But, man, I like this Utah team a lot. And, Tim, this is no handicap of this game. But if you wanted to take a shot on Utah to win the Big 12 or to make the college football playoff, I think after watching Utah in person at the Rose Bowl against UCLA, look, we know this Bruins team's pretty bad. But I think this Utah team's legit and probably the best team. I think the best team in the Big 12. We're going to find out pretty soon. But futures bets on Utah would not be a bad idea at this point.
Yeah, it's what I have in pocket. I wrote it up for the VSiN College Football Guide. Talked about it this summer. I thought with the veteran offensive line, always a good defense. And then Devin Dampier, someone that I think you, me, JVT all loved. He was as high as 100-1 to win the Heisman. He's down around 22-1. So hopefully he keeps it rolling and there isn't a stubbing of the toe against Wyoming. I'll just point out a couple other weird spots before we get our best bet recap and also, of course, talk about the Hawaii game. Iowa State goes to Arkansas State. I did take a little with Arkansas State out of principle. Iowa State going on the road to Jonesboro, Matt. Arkansas State, by the way, just gave up like 600 yards of offense to Arkansas. So I'm not thrilled about this play. That's why it's not an official play. But Iowa State, you talk about a situation here where week zero, they beat Kansas State. They come back home. They dominate South Dakota. I was on the dead wrong side of that. And then they win the Cy-Hawk against Iowa, their first home win in, I think, six or seven tries against the Hawkeyes. Now you got to go to Jonesboro to take on Arkansas State. You've got your bye week waiting there next week. So I think from a situational standpoint, Arkansas State certainly worth a look. But the question is, how bad is Arkansas State? That's always the worry. And Brock Purdy has done a really good job of staying focused so far. So I did take a little nibble on Arkansas State there. SMU at Missouri State. SMU, by the way, is a team that, you know, loses a brutal game last week to Baylor in overtime. A couple missed kicks. Next week, they have the Iron Skillet game against TCU. This week, they have to go on the road to take on Missouri State. They're about a 28-point favorite there. All right, Matt, we'll wrap with the Hawaii game. And we always talk about the Hawaii game here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, not only because it's the last game on the board, but because our good friend Steve Bookatz and Nahoku are the sponsor of the Hawaii game, Hawaii's finest jeweler since 1924. For nearly 100 years, Nahoku has been sharing the spirit of aloha through an incomparable collection of Hawaiian and island lifestyle jewelry. Each piece is inspired by the beauty and traditions of the islands, crafted with Hawaiian gold, lustrous pearls, and rare gemstones. Nahoku designs are timeless, perfect for celebrating life's most important moments, for a special keepsake to an engagement ring, or simply a gift that captures the aloha spirit. Head on over to Nahoku, Nahoku.com to discover the full range of exquisite jewelry. And by the way, 30 locations across Hawaii as well as the mainland. Thank you to our good friend Steve Bookatz and the good people over at Nahoku, a proud sponsor of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt, the number not up yet. Portland State will be the competition here for the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Portland State, by the way, has been outscored 161-20 so far this year. Shut out in their first two games, lost last week 50-20. And something that you and I kind of gravitated towards is this game will be on the Mountain West app free at midnight Eastern on Saturday night, is that this kid Luke Weaver can sling it a little bit with the anticipation that Micah Alejado probably will be sidelined again with that ankle injury for the Rainbow Warriors.
Yeah, by the way, I could never find that game on the Mountain West app last week. And I did find it on Spectrum Sports on DirecTV channel 691. So I don't know if the Hawaii game is going to be on the same channel this week. But if you're trying to find it, and somebody did tweet us about that. Tim, did you ever find it on the Mountain West app? I did not.
I did. It wasn't on my phone, but I was able to get it on my iPad for some reason. So I was able to stream it onto my big screen, which was nice. But yes, it was I was a bit frustrated, Matt, at around 9 o'clock our time on Saturday night, trying to watch Hawaii and Sam Houston.
Well, fortunately, I found Kanoa Leahy on the call on Spectrum Sports on DirecTV 691, and Luke Weaver came out slinging it. Like you said, he was throwing deep. And right away, when he started throwing deep, I said, oh boy, Under could be in trouble. If he's going to throw the deep ball and Hawaii's going to try to stretch the defense, this game could be higher scoring than we thought. I thought it would be a pretty conservative game plan. Some of the reports we had heard, or scouting reports, I'll put it this way, said that Luke Weaver was not a very good quarterback. I thought he actually looked pretty good. And actually, the first drive last week is when I opened my eyes and I said, ah, this kid might be a lot better than what we've heard. And by the second and third drives, I was convinced he is better than what we've heard. He finished 27 of 43, 294 yards with three touchdowns, did throw one pick. But again, he didn't have Nick Senecal, one of his top wide receivers out there. Pafeli Ashlock, seven catches, 125 yards, and two touchdowns last week. So this offense is going to be okay, actually, without Micah Alejado. Obviously, you want him back for some of the bigger games down the road. But Hawaii's going to be fine with Luke Weaver at quarterback. I don't know, Tim, what do you make the number here? 24, something like that. I think you got to make Portland State a pretty big dog in this game, considering what Portland State has done so far. And, if it were a week ago with the questions about Luke Weaver, the number might be a lot smaller. But I think after watching Weaver start one game and looking like a pretty competent quarterback who can throw the deep ball, I think Hawaii should win this game big.
Yeah, BYU 2 weeks ago was a 43-point favorite against Portland State. So then they covered that one, 69-0. You do wonder if Timmy's going to put up some points here. Late touchdown pass in the back corner of the end zone there from Luke Weaver. I think this team is going to try to make Luke Weaver feel as comfortable as possible if they had to go back to him. But the hope is that Mike Alejado, if he doesn't play this week, which I would be surprised if he did, that he will be back for the Fresno State game in a week. All right, Matt, that's going to do it for the podcast. But we have one final piece of business as we like to wrap things up very tidy. Let's get to our best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, you lead us off. Not a big card, but what do you got in week three of the college football season?
All right, Tim. 4-1 a week ago. The dead dog with Duke did play Vandy, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, and UNLV. So that's 7-5 for the season on this podcast. Hopefully got at least a couple of winners this week, even though I'd love to go 4-0. I'm not going to get too greedy because I took a shot with a couple of big dogs here. Temple plus 22. That's the best number you can get right now. Purdue plus 21. Those are big home dogs. I feel pretty good about both of them getting there, but hopefully at least one gets there. But I like them. Temple and Purdue, Florida plus 7.5, and Cal plus 2.5. Now, there's a bunch of plays that almost made my list this week, but I thought these would be the best four. So Owls, Boilermakers, Gators, and Golden Bears are going to be my four best bets this week.
All right, Matt, 4-3 week last week. I went 0-2 in the late night games, so that was not an enjoyable finish to the day, but we move on a winning week and hopefully another winning week ahead. I laid the money line here, so it's a little juicy, minus $1.65. Obviously, if it's not palatable for you, you could lay the 3.5. Maybe you get buy it down to 3, but I think Georgia is going to take care of business against Tennessee. I think this is an overreaction. I'm on Miami, first half and full game. We're not getting the best of the number now here on this Thursday, but I think South Florida could run out of gas a little bit here, and you're going to get a motivated bunch with the Hurricanes. Florida plus 7.5 off of the loss. Common play between you and me on that one. Notre Dame, Texas A&M. I'm going to go over 49.5. If you'd rather go Notre Dame team total, maybe that's an angle you look at. Matt, you're of the belief that Notre Dame's defense will play better, and I would agree, but I do get worried about some of the playmakers Texas A&M has. Cal plus 2.5 in the Stormy special. She got us a win last week. Hopefully she can get us one this week. Cal plus 2.5. Maybe the 3 shows up there. A bunch of situational spots this week, Matt. I'm with you on Temple. Not an official play, but I am going to go Western Michigan plus 27.5. Hopefully Burt Bielema takes his foot off the gas here, and it's a 31-7 type of game there as the Broncos can get us a cover in that one. But a bunch of situational spots. I also do lean a little bit towards Bama, -20.5. I think they could exercise some demons like they did last week in that spot. That'll probably be a super contest play for me, Alabama, -20.5. All right, Matt, that's going to do it. Week 3 in the books. Just a reminder, every Friday, Matt, Circa Friday Football Invitational. How many handicappers and how many plays are being dished out?
25 handicappers, each with 7 best bets for the weekend, 7 plays, including 1 best bet that's worth 1.5. Derek Stevens puts up $30,000. And the Iceman, Chuck Edel, tied for first, defending champ, 5-2 after 1 week. Chris the Bear Felica right there in the hunt at 4-3. He's also a former champ. So tune in Friday night for the Circa Friday Football Invitational. It's going to be a 20-week contest. This is week 2.
And check out the College Football Tailgate Show every Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern. I'll be hosting that, and we'll be getting you ready for all of the college football action. So 9 a.m. this week, looking forward to that. Thanks, as always, to Ryan Hunter, our producer, and Wyatt Tomchek as well. I'm Tim Murray. That's Matt Humans. Let's have ourselves a winning week. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.